A new brand of football for a new breed of magpie started off season 2009 last weekend. They were 25-point winners over Geelong, and the Collingwood Football Club today take on the Williamstown Football Club in round two of VFL action in season 2009 on Casey Radio, your true home of the VFL. Good afternoon, everyone. My name's Chris Weaver. I'll be joined on commentary by Tristan Fernando this afternoon. And on special comments, we have Nick Nikolovsky, a familiar voice, no doubt, to many regular listeners, and also Eddie Sadler in his second week with the station. And Eddie, you saw Collingwood last week in their 25-point win over Geelong. What I understand was a very impressive performance. Good afternoon to you.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Good to be here. Fairly overcast day. Yeah, thought Collingwood much better second half last week. They got better as the game went on. But they don't have some of their key players like they did last week, such as Anthony Rocker, who was dominant up forward. So it'll be interesting to see how they go in front of goals.
It will indeed. A few changes there we'll get around to, no doubt. And no doubt Collingwood fans will be aware of the changes who played last night in their AFL victory over the Brisbane Lions. For Williamstown, meanwhile, well, this is their first game of season 2009. And having made the preliminary finals in each of the last three seasons, they'll be looking to make the next step and become either runners-up or premiers in season 2009. A lot of pressure on Williamstown coming into the season, a lot of pressure on coach Brad Gotch. And Nick Nikolovsky, a real chance for them to shine straight up. Good afternoon, Nick.
Definitely good afternoon, Chris. Yeah, I'm looking forward to today's game. Bit of rivalry here, as we all know. 2 years ago, they were the Collingwood-affiliated club, Williamstown, so there's a bit of tension between the two clubs. And the last couple of games last year, they went at it pretty hard, both teams, and really looking forward to a nice, hard game today.
Nice, hard game indeed, and of course, a few changes too between the sides at the end of last year. A former Collingwood player in Ben Davies, and also a delisted Collingwood player in Chris Egan, both going around for Williamstown this season. Bit of feeling, they know how each other plays, and we look forward to a very tight contest this afternoon. Overcast at the moment at Visy Park in Carlton. Having a look, though, the ground, mostly in perfect nick. It's a bit sandy underfoot in the centre. In fact, there's a large patch of grass missing in the centre circle where the ruckman will contest, and also newly relayed grass in the goal square at the eastern end or cemetery end of the ground in front of the legend stand here. Phil Pearce going out to get the teams. We'll have Gavin Brown for an interview in just a few minutes' time as well. In the meantime, though, we might quickly throw back to the station for a quick song break. We'll get Tristan Fernando on the microphone as well. And after we speak to Tristan, we'll have Phil Pearce with Gavin Brown, the Collingwood coach, down in the rooms. You're listening to Casey Radio, 97.7 FM.
Yes, you are listening to 97.7 FM Casey Radio Football. There's been a slight rotation in the hosting chair. Tristan Fernando here with you this afternoon. Good afternoon to all of you out there. Shaping as a ripper clash, much like last week. We don't have too many people that have flooded through the turnstiles as yet, but hopefully the number will build as we get closer to game time. I'm here with Eddie Sadler and Nick Nikolovsky. I don't know if we said good afternoon to you before.
Yeah, we might have.
Nick, we might have. Anyway, good afternoon to you from my side of things.
Good afternoon, Tristan. How are we today on this lovely day?
Yeah, I'm fighting fit. Cloudy above, but it looks like conditions will be fairly good for play. Not too breezy, and I think we're all set for a fairly decent match.
Any showers forecasted?
Are you boys going to give me anything this afternoon? You're just on a strike already.
I am.
Now, Disco Weaver, who was in the chair and just sprung a surprise upon me, is actually down at ground level trying to locate Gavin Brown, the Collingwood coach. He'll be joining us a bit later on. Brad Gotch will follow. So we'll have the word from the coaches and all the team news when they come flooding in about 5 to 10 minutes' time. But, boys, let's just recap round one. Big way to kick off the season last week. Only the five games played. We mentioned Williamstown didn't play last week.
Yeah, nor Box Hill and Werribee.
And Werribee were the other ones. They actually play their first game of the season tonight, Werribee against the Bendigo Bombers. Historic night for Werribee. They play their first game under lights at what is now no longer Bartercard Oval, but at Chirnside Park. It's been a great initiative by the council and their football club to tee that up, and I think they're expecting a fairly big crowd to get down to that one. But, boys, as I said, round one was played last weekend, the five games. Any real surprises from your side of things?
Oh, yeah, Port Melbourne. That's a huge shock, I think.
Just the way they went about it?
Yeah, just a runaway victory. A very shock, you know, compared to last year in the way they played the grand final. And they did recruit some players, North Ballarat, so I was very surprised.
Well, I had the game on IQ because, of course, I was calling the game between Collingwood and Geelong last week. And yeah, I was very impressed with Port Melbourne. I didn't quite know how to rate them because I know you get the annual turnover and they, I thought they might have been a bit unsettled. They lost a few experienced heads, but yes, they showed no ill effects of or any signs of being unsettled last week against North Ballarat. And I suppose it's the best possible way. You're not going to get revenge for a grand final loss, but the best way to kick off your season, beating a team who gave you a good old touch-up back in September.
Definitely. And the DeLuca, are they the brothers? Or?
Yes, Faden and Adrian. So they're a handy
good pick-up inclusions, yeah,
for Port Melbourne. North Ballarat, though, I think they only had five North Melbourne players going around with them. So probably questioned their depth slightly. We mentioned last week on our coverage that we thought their VFL depth particularly was fairly strong. Tristan Cartledge has returned to the club and they've got that two-pronged ruck attack of Oren Stevenson and Cartledge. So they're going to be a force to be reckoned with.
It'll be an interesting
still have
year
to say,
them.
But obviously, as we so often say in the VFL competition, so much is dependent upon the AFL injuries.
Definitely.
I think even more so for a side like North Ballarat and Werribee, because they're in the partial alignment with the North Melbourne Football Club, if injuries start filtering down, you get a few problems at your VFL club and really have to try and dig deep to find the real depth in that 22nd player.
No doubt. And with North Melbourne, as we've seen in the last couple of weeks, they've been having a few issues with some of their star players getting dropped. Corey Jones, Daniel Wells, so that'll be very interesting to see if they will be playing for Werribee or if they're going to have a week off. Or
well, Corey Jones, I believe, is aligned to the North Ballarat side of things. Daniel Wells will be having a couple of weeks off because I think he's a bit sore. But Corey Jones, he spent some time in the VFL last year. He's been in and out of form. I remember a couple of years ago, he was ripping it up at AFL level.
Yeah.
It's amazing what
very
can happen to you. It's amazing what can happen as a player.
Very hot and cold.
I suppose you make the analogy of players in the European soccer leagues, they can be extremely talented one minute and almost seem like they've lost everything the next when they move to a club. I don't know what's happening with Corey Jones. I don't know if he's disgruntled. We don't know all these things. They're kept under wraps and we don't know the relationships between players and the coaching staff and the like. But let's hope he can bounce back because he's a quality player and I think he will make an impact at VFL level. But moving back to the results from last weekend, you mentioned briefly Collingwood at too good for Geelong last week. A scrappy encounter, 25-point victory in the end for the Pies. I think they just overran the Cats. The Cats had a lot of VFL-listed players. They had a number of injuries amongst the AFL contingent, which meant their stocks were tested.
Mm-hmm. And inaccurate kicking, I think the scoreline definitely flattered Geelong, 13-21.
It was guys, whenever you're ready, we've got Brad Gotchan here, so if you give us away, thanks very much. Tristan, and with me is Brad Gotch, the Williamstown coach in his seventh year, I believe. Is that right, Brad?
Are you one out, Phil? I'm eight.
Oh, you're eight?
Yeah, 8 years.
Goodness me, time flies when you're having fun. And I'm glad I'm tall for a change, and Brad Gotch has got short legs full of deep pockets, but we won't discuss that too much. But Brad, first game of the season is going to be a real tough one. You're up against a side that had a pretty good win here last week. Well, it wasn't the best game we've ever seen, but what are you expecting from the opposition today?
Well, to beat Geelong is a good accomplishment, I reckon, last week. But they did have a lot of their Collingwood players playing, and you know, a few of those have gone up, Barham and Rocker and Goldsack and Tuvi. So they're not as strong as what they were last week, but you know, we're not taking that for any granted because they'll bring in some newer players, which will be pretty enthusiastic and keen. And it's our first game, and we've had a good build-up over the last 4 weeks, and yeah, we're looking forward to having our first hit out today.
And what's your practice form been like?
Yeah, pretty good actually, Phil. Yeah, we've had four really good hit outs in the last month. I thought our first couple of games were a little bit scratchy. We weren't right on top of our game, but each week we've progressed over the last month, averaging around about the 20 goals a game. So I'd like to think we could come out and do that again today. It'd be fantastic. But look, you don't know how it's going to pan out. It'll be a lot harder, you know, against some opposition in the planet for four premiership points. So you just never know what's going on in the pre-season with what the opposition are doing and how strong the line-ups they're putting against you.
Now, the thing I was going to ask you, this is Robert Murphy's first game. Now, has he had a bit of knee surgery during the off-season?
Yeah, look, he just had his patella tendon. Oh. Yeah, he had that fixed up during the pre-season. And look, he was back into training fairly quickly, and then he just had a little bit of a setback because of a bit of soreness. Yeah. So it hasn't dropped him off too much, and they've just been coasting him along, say, the last month to 6 weeks. So he's been doing a lot of training. And, so he gets the chance to have the first hit out today and starts that progression forward.
And the other thing I was going to ask you, Ben Davies, was on the Williamstown list a couple of years ago when you were aligned with Collingwood. It's obviously good to have him back after just couldn't get a game at the Kangaroos last year because he just about played every game for Werribee, but obviously you're absolutely thrilled to have him back at Williamstown.
Well, he's a local Williamstown boy, which is really handy, and that's why, you know, to firstly get him from the Western Jets to Collingwood as a rookie, and then he had that year there, then he progressed on to North Melbourne. So we've been keeping an eye on him, but I think his true love has always been in the Williamstown colours. So once he was actually off an AFL list, it was easy to approach him and get him back involved in our fold. And look, he was either best and first or second best and fairest 2 years ago with us. So he's a pretty tidy player and a handy replacement for the guys that we've lost.
Do you expect one of your Williamstown players will give a hard tag on some of the Collingwood players as far as the game's concerned, or were you just going to go one-on-one accountability?
Well, look, Ryan Cook was pretty good last week, had a fair bit of the ball. Also, Sidebottom was fairly impressive too. So we'll just keep an eye, just see how they go. Most of our guys are fairly accountable through the midfield anyway, but there's certain requirements and rules that they need to follow in certain situations. So there might be times when they need to zone, there might be times they need to drop off and do that sort of stuff. So whilst our stoppages are always a pretty fierce contest, because that's how the Bulldogs have really improved in that area as well as Willie has, so we want to make sure that we make it a real fierce contest in there, get our first hands on it and be hard at the contested ball. So there'll be a bit of one-on-one going on as well.
And Cameron White down back is going to be a real general for you down today, as well as probably Jason Clark. You'll probably push forward, but I think when you look at it, you've got a very good two-pronged attack in Patrick Rose and also Matt Little.
Yeah, no, you're pretty spot on there, Phil. I think Clarkey's probably best served back for us initially, but we can put him forward if we need to. And also Cam White, you know, with his height, if they give us the opportunity to free up, because I'm going to start him back, if they give us an opportunity to free up with a tall that with a small, well, then we might put him into some other position, whether it's on the wing or whether it's up forward. So that'll give us a little bit of an advantage if they can give us the right matchup.
And no doubt you and Rodney Oates have been getting along together since last year. He's not... Judging by the look on his face, when things are not going right for him, he gets very volatile. Does he really get angry, or is he fairly composed?
Oh, look, I just think he's intense. You know, he feels the passion and the enthusiasm, the pressure of everything. You know, it's a big gig being a lead coach. And I think most of the coaches you find, when they're coaching at their best, they've got that intensity and they've got that real hardness about them, you know, and they get angry and they get frustrated. And that's just part of the game. So you sort of roll with the punches on all that sort of stuff. And he coaches best when he's like that. So you're not going to try and change him from that.
And, of course, his hair's going to be thinner from all these years playing from, say, the mid-70s at Hawthorn. A lot thinner than mine, I reckon, Gotchi.
Yeah, no doubt about that, but I think he was shedding a few hairs in the early days. I don't think it's just been the coaching that's done that.
Well, Brad, look, thanks for joining us on KC Radio 97.7. It's always good catching up with you, and my word, it's let's hope it's a better year for Williamstown's sake, hopefully making a top-four finish, and who knows, you're just going to take one game at a time.
Yeah, I suppose that's the thing. You know, we've got to build on the fact we've been in the last three preliminary finals and we know we're not far away. So if we can just tailor it a little bit better and time it, hopefully we're there when it counts at the end of the season. But first game today, so we'll take it 1 week at a time, Phil.
Well, Brad, thanks for joining us. Good luck today, and we'll hopefully speak to you after the game and have even much better smiley face than anyone now. So we wish you all the best.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
Back to you, Tristan.
Well, it's not quite Tristan up here, it's Chris Weaver at the moment, but thank you, Phil, for interviewing Brad Gotch down at ground level, the Williamstown coach. Phil, I believe, going to go over and interview Gavin Brown too, so we'll get a quick chat with him in a couple of minutes' time. A lot asked of Williamstown this year, Nick. We talked about the fade-out last year after half-time against Port Melbourne. Really trying to exercise the demons today.
Yeah, definitely. It's twice in a row now, the year before as well. They just seem to stumble before the grand final, so just looking to take that next step forward and picking up Ben Davies from North Melbourne, which didn't really work for him last year. It's a good inclusion, but they have lost Stephen Green, who I think is a very reliable player, and he's just week in, week out very good, so I think that he'll be a big loss to their team. But as you said earlier on, Chris Egan and bringing in Ben Davies, big inclusions I think for the Willie team.
Yeah, a couple of those fringe players leaving Williamstown as well at the end of last season. James Beaumont, who won the best on ground in the reserves grand final, and that 31-point victory which Williamstown had at that grade. He's moved on back to the Victorian amateur competition as well. Some good inclusions, though. We mentioned Ben Davies. Also, just missing out today, but Dylan Joyce and Xavier Gotch, two smaller players. Xavier, of course, the younger son of the coach, Brad Gotch. A couple of smaller men to look out for as depth players later in the season.
Definitely, and just really interested to see how Skipper goes this year. Is he still on the Bulldogs list?
Yes.
He definitely is. So, yeah, he could be playing for a spot, I think, for the Western Bulldogs. So he had a wonderful year last year, especially the first five or six rounds. He was just on fire, Skipper, last year.
A lot's going to be asked of him, too, with the loss of Peter Street. Street, who was delisted by the Western Bulldogs at the end of last season. He's not stayed on with Williamstown as a VFL affiliate. And, well, he was one of the players of the season, particularly during the home and away rounds. So the loss of Peter Street means that Skipper and Scott Meyer, both have to take on the ruck work. Now, if you're a full-time ruckman, it's going to make it difficult for some of those feeders on the ball inside centre square for Williamstown.
Yeah, definitely. Skipper, I think just his body's not the size of, let's say, a Brian or even young Wood, who's also a slim ruckman. But they're accomplished ruckman, I think, in the VFL sense, as where Skipper, like you said, he is a fringe ruckman. He's probably more suited in the forward line.
193 centimetres tall. Meyer is 196 centimetres. It's not a great age to be a short ruckman or a comparatively short ruckman at the moment, is it? You can't be physical at stoppages around the ground anymore. Umpires straight away picking out free kicks.
Definitely.
Make things very difficult for them. And conversely, Eddie, it'll really play into the hands of the Collingwood ruckman, in particular Chris Bryan and Cameron Wood.
Yeah, well, they were very good, Wood and Bryan, last week. And as Nick said last week in the call, Wood's more suited to a ruck role. His kicking in front of goal was disappointing at times. So you'd expect to see Wood being the top-tier ruckman today. And Bryan especially was very good in front of goal with a few second-half goals last week. So he might play more of a forward role.
Yeah, Wood's a very good tap ruckman. Just around the ground, that's where I think Skipper can probably get on top. He's just probably just a higher skill level than Big Cam Wood. I think he lacks in the skill marking and even kicking just normal kicks to his teammates, so that's probably where he can be exposed, I think.
They've got other forward line options, though, too, Collingwood, in a medium-sized forward who plays very well at this level, in Brent McCaffer, and also Chris Dawes, who joined both Rocker and Bryan in kicking three goals last week. It's going to be tough to match up on that height down there, boys, particularly with Meyer, if he has to go into the racket stages.
Oh, definitely, but you're talking about Chris Dawes. Last week he kicked those three goals all in the last quarter where the game was pretty much gone, so I think he definitely has something to prove. Dawsey, I think when the game's there to be won, he doesn't really stand up. I'm not going to say he's a front runner, but when things are going well, he tends to, he does perform. So it'll be interesting to see how he goes in the first half this week.
Quite strong and good in the contested grab, so Chris Dawes, a good safe pair of hands.
Yeah,
so
last week.
No?
I struggled last week, big time.
How's
and body on body, he was up against, who was the young fella for Geelong? Was it Johnson or Gillies? Young Gillies,
yep.
And he struggled. And like Kane did say last week, he probably needs to put on about 5 kilos or so just to be that powerhouse forward, and where I think Kane's hit the nail on the head there. So just probably a bit more body size. Although he's not a small fella, I just think one-on-one sometimes he should be taking a lot more marks.
Now, how was the ball movement around the ground from Collingwood last week? We saw last year they were particularly slow in transition, very stop-start game plan. It was a game plan which didn't show off a lot of confidence, but 34 scoring shots last week suggested they were able to get into the forward line a lot more frequently.
Yeah, Eddie may want to talk about this.
Into the forward line, I didn't think it was into the forward line that was too much of an issue, Chris. It was more in front of goal, just very inaccurate, and it wasn't until later on that they sort of got on top of things. The other thing was, the first half they only had two goal kickers, Rocker and Bryan, the tall timber up forward, and it wasn't until the second half, even sort of midway through the third quarter last week onwards, that they weren't able to have other goal scorers with Rounds contributing with one, which sort of helped to find someone else there, as well as Chris Dawes in the last quarter.
More specifically, though, that movement of the ball inside forward 50, was it a lot more direct than we've previously seen?
It was a lot more direct. But they weren't able to find someone there a lot of the time when they did find it inside 50.
So it'll be interesting then to see if Williamstown are able to rebound strongly from their defensive lines. It was something they affected very strongly last season. David Stretton in particular, the left footer off half-back, one of the best improved players in the competition in 2008. If the delivery's not spot on then, boys, it's a chance for him to really rebound strongly and provide some drive.
Definitely, he's their go-to man, as you said, Chris. Getting the boy's got a lovely left-foot kick, so it'll be interesting to see how he was. Last week, the kicking was quite scrappy from both teams, and I think it probably took them until the third or fourth quarter to get their kicks right, and it'll be interesting now, because this is their first game, Williamstown, how their skill levels are. Collingwood did have that week, so you'd think they'd be a lot more sharper than what they were last week. And, I'm not sure how Williamstown's practice matches were. I'm not sure what their results were, but it'll be interesting. The bye last week, not playing, Collingwood playing last week, so.
Now, we talk about last week and the delivery. This is a ground, even with the high stands, we sometimes see the wind really swirl around and make conditions difficult at ground level. How's it going to be affected now that we've got the construction site at the western end?
The wind was favouring the Legend stand, although goals were kicked on the other stand, Chris, so I'm not sure it makes that. If you have a look at the flags behind the newly constructed section there, it is going towards that side, but it's quite topsy-turvy, I think. You really doesn't really favour one side, and we did see goals being kicked on both sides last week.
Yeah, not much breeze at the moment. It is blowing slightly from the southeast at present. However, as we mentioned, at this venue, it's something which does tend to change around and swirl around as the afternoon continues. Phil Pearce is with Gavin Brown now at ground level.